Let's just turn our attention to Him right now. God, it's You that we desire. Above all else, God, oh, Your life. Give us union, God, with You. We ask, God, for communion and union with You. Give us John 17. Oh, God, help us. Do what only You can do for us, God. Lord, we just bless You. Have Your way, Lord. Are you enjoying your life in God these days? Isn't the voice of God something wonderful? Don't you love to hear His voice? Are you enjoying hearing His voice? How have you been hearing His voice lately? You know, there's all kinds of ways He speaks in dreams, in visions, pictures, still small voice echoing inside. He talks to us through others. How else has He talked to you as of late? Through His word. The glorious encounter. You know, when we start reading the Bible and we're like, oh, just words on a page. But then all of a sudden something jumps out, penetrates our heart, and causes a glorious revolution on the inside. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Don't you love His voice? God, give us more of this, God. You know, we've been laboring to just raise up a house of prayer. Not so much labor, but actually having a lot of fun at it. But the Lord gave me a dream last summer about this building of a house of prayer. And in the dream, I'm being coached to how to do it. And I'm running, just sweating, just one place to the next place. Build this house of prayer. Build this house of prayer. Do this, do that. And I'm just running all over the place. And all of a sudden, I run over into the side of the altar space. And I run into a cloud of the presence of God. And there, while I'm in the presence of God and enjoying the power and love that I'm in, all of a sudden, I start weeping in the dream. And I hear myself say and see myself say in the dream, oh, God, it's Your presence. It's Your voice. It's Your presence. It's Your voice. Listen, this life, it's not intended to be a self-constructed adventure. God is the author and the perfecter of this journey. He didn't just leave us to say, let's put together a couple of principles and we'll add your gifts to the mix, your skill set, and then we'll add a couple more components and see, you know, if we could just get you to go ahead and try to build something that looks good, feels good. We have not been abandoned for such a pursuit. No, but instead, the psalmist says, actually, this was a psalm of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Do you understand what that picture is? It's actually a picture of the God life. It's a picture of our life in God. That we are not the builders of our own house. We are not the builders of our own destiny. But God actually is building the life within us and around us. He's saying, I have a great dream for you. Psalm 16, you are My majestic ones, in whom is all My delight. Think of this, that God has invested in us all of His delight. Whoa, what kind of, think about you, yourself as a bank, as a God's investment opportunity. And He comes along and He thinks, what kind of resource am I going to put inside of my bank name? Put your name in there. And He looks and He says, this is the greatest resource. I could put all My delight. What kind of investment do you think God is going to get on the return? What kind of return of investment do you think God's going to get for the deposit of all of His delight in you? Here is what I'm saying. You might think you are a disappointment to God, but I'm saying, you are not a disappointment to God. And you will not be returning to Him. He will not be disappointed on His return in your life. You might feel like a second stringer in life, an onlooker. But I'm saying that you are center stage in the eyes of God, every one of us. Center stage in the eyes of God. Oh, he has invested in us dreams and visions. Prophetic promises. He says, by my precious and magnificent promises, you have become partakers of the divine nature. What kind of life is it that is a partaker of a divine nature? What does it look like to partake in the divine nature of God? I believe God is calling us into a season of crossing over into the glorious, awe-filled existence of the God life. We have long wondered about this eternal life, thinking that someday we'll get to live in it. But the reality of it is that the Lord wasn't talking about a someday life. When he was talking about eternal life, he wasn't talking about the quantity that you'll have of it. He was talking about the quality that you'll have of it. That our lives are actually partnered with the heavenly vision of God. His very presence and his voice is our inheritance. He has not saved something and held something back from us, but instead he has said, this is for you. And we didn't come to him of our own merits. You think about the words of Zechariah in 9:11. By the blood of my own covenant, I have set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Some of us maybe, I don't know, Amy just had a dream about a week ago. And in the dream there was this gal named Anne. From the movie, Anne of Green Gables. Don't you love the voice of God? Come on, unless we come to him as a child. So this Anne of Green Gables character was combing the riverbeds, dry riverbeds, following gopher trails looking for her real mom. How did the dream end? I can't remember. Oh. But then all of a sudden she grabs Nate's arm. And she says, I can't believe. Weeping, she says, I can't believe. I think that actually this is a picture of what God is doing in the body. Not just this body, other bodies, but maybe even this region, that God wants to bring an explosion of the rivers of living water. Out of dry riverbeds, following gopher trails, we were made for something more. You are not just a gopher in the kingdom of God. You are much more important to the eyes of God than that. You are not just a gopher. Do you understand the parallel there? Combing dry riverbeds is not your inheritance. God is setting us free from the waterless pit. This is the heart of this crossover. Crossing over out of dryness and into a river. Hell has no remedy for a river. Jesus didn't die for a system called Christianity. But there's a communion and life and rivers of living water that he has ready for us. Already paid for, bought and paid for us. What is the cost of getting into this river? Jesus said, if you believe in me, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Come on, it's simple faith. How many do you feel you could benefit from an awakening of faith? Come on, because sometimes we can picture this, but we can't grab it. What did Paul say? Ever learning, but never coming able to grasp the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever felt like you're ever learning, but not for some reason, not apprehending? The Lord has so much more for us in store. So we're going into the season. Listen, this life is a great adventure in God. We just had a dream given to us about 2 weeks ago. And in the dream, the last part of it was this gal's father was printing off this game called the Bible Adventure Game. And the father brings the game to the daughter and says, he says, I cannot wait to play this with you. Come on, doesn't that sound like a great life? Doesn't that sound like a great thing? Oh, there's so much more to this God life than the just doing what's right or doing what's good. I'm not saying we don't do what's right or do what's good. I'm saying there's so much more than that. There's so much more than just biding our time waiting for the eternal life, the someday life. I believe God wants us to cause us to cross over and experience the eternal nature of the life of God in Christ on the inside. That's what these 5 days are about, starting Tuesday. We just, you know, this is a Bible adventure game. It's the book of Acts. Come on, it's a great Bible adventure game. Some of us don't see our name in the book of Acts, but you know, there's a whole chapter just about you. Say, who am I to struggle with my little neck of the woods trying to keep my family together or whatever? And I'm saying, no, you're not. You think you are. But unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Let's begin to ask God and hunger and thirst for the great Bible adventure game, the book of Acts in our own lives, in our families. What if? What if God would release the rivers of living water as he did in the upper room? You see, John said about that quote of Jesus. He quoted Jesus, right? If you believe in me, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. This was just after, about a chapter after, he said, it's only the spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Listen, that's a shocking statement. That is a shocking, revolutionary statement that Jesus made there. Only the Spirit gives life. The flesh is no help at all. And how often do we live as if the flesh was all the help and the Spirit was going to be the gravy? So here he's saying, whoever believes in me, out of your inmost being will flow rivers of living water. I believe the Lord's going to cause us to groan again for the rivers of living water. Oh God, give me the God life. Give me the eternal qualities of heaven on the inside. I must have this. I can't subsist in this dry riverbed. I cannot just trudge along the way I've been doing in these days and hope to make it in the end. No, for me, it's the rivers of living water. I'd rather die than not have the rivers of living water. Do you understand? Let something of hunger begin to erupt inside of us. But here's the deal. Unless we can see it, we probably won't hunger for it. So we're going into 5 days to allow God to envision us for the God life. Will he pour out the rivers? I don't know. But if we don't go for it, then probably not. You know, we think about the picture of the upper room, and we think, oh, those guys had it all together. They were all in one accord. Ooh, spooky. There's nothing spooky about it. All it meant was they were together. It didn't mean they had it together. We don't have to get it together before the rivers are released. We just need to be together. He's going to pull it all together because it's in him we live and move and have our being. It's all about Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. And something at some point and sometimes and in some lives, the enemy tries to strip from us the simplicity of devotion to the Christ. And instead we're beguiled out of the Eden of the God life and into the self-constructed, self-aware existence. And we think, oh, is my life balanced? Do I got enough of this and enough of that, enough of the other? When did living a balanced life, is that even in the Bible? I don't know. Pastor Dave, you know the Bible better than anybody here. Help us. But I'm not longing for a balanced life. I'm longing for the God life. I don't want this self-constructed existence. I'm looking for what are the strategies to live this thing better? I don't want a strategy. I want the Spirit of the living God. So as God begins to envision us for this, then longing can erupt on the inside, because until there's a bit of seeing, there's a very difficult time to have faith. First, Jesus shows up and he says, follow me. But they saw him. There was a moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? They didn't see everything about him, but there he appeared and he said, follow me. I'm longing for a greater revelation of the Christ and the voice, follow me. Last year, so this year on April 23rd, through a bit of what we felt was circumstances, we went ahead and said, okay, we're going to do this crossover gathering, April 23rd to April 27th. Forgetting that last year on April 23rd, Amy had a dream. In 13 days, you're leaving for California. A year ago on April 23rd. Now, we would have much preferred a little more notice. The whole troop was heading to the East Coast. And, you know, that wasn't the first of the dreams that was prying us into California, but that was the one that just locked it in. We're like, okay, 13 days. We're doing this one way or another. Then we were looking for a direction as to where was the landing pad. And we felt it was Sacramento, and the Lord gave Amy a dream again. And in the dream, it was merged the face of Yuba City with the face of Sacramento. I still don't totally know what that means. But a freight line going back and forth between the two cities. You might feel Yuba City of not much import. But remember that before there was a Golden Gate, there was a gold rush. And I believe, again, a gold rush is coming. It's the gold of the glory of God in the face of Christ. I believe we will see the face of Christ. The glory of God has a face. It's a man. His name is Jesus. The revealed glory of God has a face, not just an ethereal thing. Oh, that Jesus would be revealed in our midst again. It would provoke such hunger and such faith in us. So we're going after these 5 days of encounter. I feel like it's significant. April 23rd, we had the dream, 13 days. 13 days after that dream, we left for California. It's the Bible adventure game. Come on, it's better than what we could construct on our own initiative. So then I get word a week ago from a pastor in town that says, why did you pick the 23rd? I'm like, I don't know. He said, did you know that last year, or she said, last week the Lord spoke to me. Remember the 23rd. And she's like, I know the crossover is the 23rd. And he's like, no, it's not about the cross. Remember the 23rd. And all of a sudden she remembered, oh my gosh, the 23rd. The 23rd was of last year. She sent out an email paralleling the 70 years, the 70-year promise, the held-back prophecies in this region of 70 years. She said she sent out an email about the held-back promise, the held-back promises of the 70 years, paralleling them with the exile of the Israelites in Babylon, 70 years. And at the end of 70 years, an announcement was made. King Cyrus declares the rebuilding of the temple, and the freedom of the captives. Not just so, but he funded it. The gold was released. And she says, do you know what date King Cyrus made his announcement? April 23rd. Takes a second, doesn't it? So I had a dream about 2 months ago, and in the dream, I'm being invited to write a fireball that was being sent from heaven to earth. I think that sounds like fun. So I said, yeah, let's do that. So I'm writing on this fireball with I am nice ears written across the top. Don't know totally what that means, but I feel like it's the I am. It's the great I am. He's coming. Come on. And I'm riding on this thing, just barely hanging on, and all of a sudden I see the Bay Area, and we come over and land into the bay, and it was a cataclysmic collision into the bay, and I look up, and I see the whole cityscape of San Francisco, not as it normally is, but I see it actually as a 3D schematic, a blueprint in 3D, a schema, and the whole thing flattens in a moment. I think, oh, what is this? I tell a prophetic friend of mine the next day, and he's like, Alex, what if the fireball is the Son of Righteousness? Jesus, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, out of Malachi 4:2. Bringing healing, tearing down the form that hold back the glory of God and releasing the life of God in Christ. What if? And I begin to get excited about that. I'm like, yeah, let's. So we began. So our team went into 40 days of fasting, kind of, for San Francisco. And we ended up going there. We had 10 days there, upper room time. It was glorious. God did so many confirming things, different signs and stuff. Praying into this fireball. God, release, God, the fireball from heaven. The heavenly vision, come and visit us again. Even like you did in the book of Acts, God. So Amy, at the end of the 10 days, she has a dream. And in the dream, we were invited over to David Wright's house. I feel like it's the right David, the son of David, Jesus. And in the front yard of David Wright's house, he's prepared this buffet, picnic. And in the sky, he points to in the sky, there was a meteor shower. And she knew in the dream that it was the Lord was showing us these signs in the heavens. So we wake up the next morning, and this was about 2 weeks ago. We wake up the next morning, and she says, what is this meteor shower? She Googles it up, and it turns out there's a meteor shower coming in April. There's a meteor shower coming in April. Guess what the date of the culmination of that meteor shower is? April 23rd. Not only so, but as we were reading it, we were like, what is this? And we were seeing the Lyrid meteor showers. It's called the Lyrid meteor showers. It's the Lyrid because it's named after the constellation Lyra, because it comes out of that sphere of the sky. Lyra, lyre, right? It's the harp. It's David's tabernacle. I feel the Lord is showing us something here. I don't know. If you have faith, reach for it a little bit with me. But then all of a sudden we're looking and we're seeing, oh my gosh, because then it says the Lyrid meteor showers, when they're at their brightest, is called the Lyrid fireballs. What if the Lord would release a fireball to us? You say, well, that sounds a little outrageous. I think this God life is a little more outrageous than what we think it is. God's not so much into our little boxes. You say, well, how is your self-constructed life working for you? Because I'm having some fun. I'm broke sometimes, to be honest with you, but I'm having a little bit of fun here. Let's have some fun together. This is the God life, the great Bible adventure game. It's the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. Come on. The Spirit has been released already in great measure, but I believe times and seasons come. We've seen it with Azusa. The great outpouring. Northern California helped reject it. Southern California basked in. How about this time all of California pulls together? We say yes to the great fireball of God. Come and bring the book of Acts to us again. What about an outpouring? And what about Yuba City? What about a gold rush of the glory of God in Yuba City? Come on. Can we reach for it? Can we believe? Too many unbelieving believers. Let's not be counted amongst them. If you're bored with the God life, it's probably because you're not living it. Come on, I don't say that as someone who has already arrived. I'll tell you, Amy is my witness. Be quiet. Honestly, I say this as someone who's just pressing forward for the high calling. Come on, the high calling is not that we could be more holy. Oh, if we could just get it together a little bit more and put our flesh down and, you know. The high calling is the calling of glorious communion with God. We don't get holy enough for it. That communion makes us holy. So here we come on to an upper room time. Amy has a dream. Go figure it. Her father built us an upper room. Too many are in the worry room, not enough in the upper room. Too many in the figure it out room, too few in the upper room. But the Lord has built for us an upper room. And in that upper room, Moses was there. I don't know. Go figure. In the dream I'm talking about. And Moses is here. Hey, Moses. So it's actually a pretty glorious dream. I won't go into the whole details of it, but I'm trying to draw us a picture of an upper room time. They had 10 days. We got 5. How about twice the outpouring in half the time? Come on. So April 23rd, the decree goes out for the reconstructing of the second temple. Do you know what happened in the upper room? A temple was built. We don't see it that way. It's 11:43 as I turn this thing on. The Lord speaks to us in numbers. Do you ever get numbers? You know, even if I make some of this stuff up, I'm still having a good time. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come on. I believe the Lord's going to add joy back into our hearts again. There's joy in this journey. It's not just drudgery. So I wrote this the other day. You know, Pastor Dave alluded to how our team has traversed a journey and found our way here. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. But he called us to a righteousness movement. Really, at the heart of it is a Jesus movement. It's the movement of Jesus. The book of Acts was less about the apostles' acts and more about the acts of God. It was a revelation of the glory of God in the face of Christ. After 3 years of the labors of the Lord and his death and ascension into heaven, he breathed the life of God on them. They couldn't have constructed it on their own. He said, it's better that I go because I'll prepare a place for you. My Father's house has many rooms. What does that mean? I believe we are to see ourselves as the room that he has prepared. We are the tabernacle of God. Don't you know you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul said. It was a revelation of the glory of God in the face of Christ, turning the known world upside down through the voice and the presence of God. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. All of a sudden, people see it. God has come and dwelt with and in man. The fallen booth of David, Amos 9:11, was restored. His tent of praise and presence. We are not waiting to build another 24-hour house of prayer. We are the house of prayer that he has built. The ark of the new covenant was born in the hearts of men and women. And again, we will see the book of Acts. I think it's very significant that the 23rd Cyrus decreed the rebuilding of the temple. What if the Lord would rebuild the book of Acts amongst us? What if he would fund it from heaven? The greatest fundage we need is actually not in the material realm. But we need the empowerment of heaven. Once our righteousness goes forth as brightness and our salvation as a torch that is burning, the kings will come to the brightness of our rising. Isaiah 62 and Isaiah 60. This, I believe, is our prophetic promise. We will be no longer termed forsaken, but we will be given a new name. My delight is in her. Your land married. Who gives us that name? In one sense, it's the Lord, but he says you will be called. That actually means others will call you that. When they see your life before God and the life of God burgeoning from within you, they will go, you are not forsaken. You are married of God. The kings and princes will come to the brightness of your rising. Read it, Isaiah 60. You got to read it again. Isaiah 60, we did the 10 days of arise mostly out of Isaiah 60. I believe it was the quickening. You know what the quickening is? The quickening is not when the baby comes out. The quickening is when the baby first stirs. What if we had the quickening 6 months ago? But a birthing coming. Would you push with us? Can we push together? You guys are pushers. You've been pushing now. You know what I'm saying? 25 years, Pastor Dave spoke of. What if the Lord would rebuild his temple in our midst, the book of Acts, the house of Acts, by this field? Let's buy this field together. It's already been bought for us, but I believe we have to come back to gaze not on our own sacrifice and our own, but to gaze upon the value of his sacrifice. As effective and amazing our own fastings are, there was a sacrifice that far exceeded the sacrifice of our own. And by the blood of his own covenant, he will save us and set us free from the waterless pit. We are relying not upon our own, but upon his. By his stripes, we are healed. Oh God, we are longing, God, that everything that you have paid for would be done unto us. This is the heart of the crossover. This is the heart of what we're doing in these 5 days. What you guys, I believe, have labored for many years, but the Lord has called into this moment. Will he do it in a moment? I don't know, but let's get together and find out. Journey with us into this. It's the God life. We want this, Lord, not the self-constructed thing. Daniel, can you come play something for us? We have a little bit of time. We got 10 minutes. I believe that we could just, we don't need to start on the 23rd. Let's start right now. Can we stand together? I believe it's possible that a little hunger was stirred up this morning. I don't know, but if you have any hunger in you this morning, I want you to come to the front. There's a desire inside you. God, let me cross over into this God. Maybe you've already been there in so many ways, but maybe there's a greater crossing over. As you come, I'll tell you this last little segment about this. As we were deciding, should we do this? Listen, we don't gather haphazardly. I'm telling you. I don't take it flippantly that we would waste anybody's time. You guys are busy enough. Do you need to be more busy? Probably not. So I was in almost fear and trepidation. Should we even gather? Oh God, you said at the 10th day of the 10 days of Arise, the Lord gave me a dream. And in the dream, he says, you're cultivating the crossover. And the Lord had kind of been stirring that in our hearts, in the little prayer room that we're just getting together, you know, feebly almost, just waiting upon the Lord, so much waiting. You might not be used to a lot of waiting, but you know what Jesus said for the disciples to do in the upper room was to wait on him. Too many self-constructed lives, we step out to lay foundations and borders where the Lord has laid none. Because we're like, well, a wall belongs there. It's uncomfortable without a wall, so I'll just build one. Unless the Lord builds the house. We can't make stuff up. So I just, in fear and trepidation, I'm like, Lord, do we do another gathering? Pastor Dave was curious, how about another push? And I'm like, oh, do we do this? We step out into a meeting. About a week later, I was going to a meeting where we were going to decide, do we do this or not? Do we do the crossover or not, Lord? And I'm, as I'm driving to the meeting, I'm pondering, oh God, feeling the weight of, oh God, I don't think I want to do this. And all of a sudden a scripture comes to mind. I want to look it up. So in a little pause there, I just went and I looked at my Bible on my phone. And what came up was the scripture of the day. The scripture of the day. That day was John 5:24. If you believe in me, you will have eternal life, and you will not be judged, and you will have crossed over from death to life. Come on, what if God would call us to a moment crossing over from a lesser existence to a greater life in God? God, we want this, Lord. Would you give this to us? Let's cry out now. Come on, lift your voices to the Lord. God, we want this, Lord. Cause us to cross over, God. Cause us to see your face, God. We desire you, God. We desire the rivers of living water flowing from our inmost being, Lord. Build again the house of Acts, God. Do it right here, right in Yuba City, God. Right in Marysville, God. Oh, God, release, God, again the rivers of living water, the book of Acts, God. Keep going, keep crying out.
Forget a song, go ahead. Take a sin.
Come on, let's ask him in faith right now. God, do what only you can do. We desire you, Lord. We need you. We need the life. We need the life. Take us there. Take us in, God. Cross us over. Open up our eyes, God, to see the prize. Open up our eyes to see the prize. To the house of Acts. Renew your temple amongst us. Stripes, we are healed. Let everything that that you paid for be done unto us.
I will cross over to all your promises.
We ask you, God, release great faith in our hearts right now. Oh, God, cause us to have the heavenly vision in our eyes, God, to see, God, the land that you've bought for us, God. Cause us to dwell therein, the promised land, the heavenly life in you, God. Eternal life on the inside, rivers of living water, God, release them now. Breathe upon us, Lord. Give us faith and hunger in this moment, we ask you, God.
Into the Holy of Holies, take us in by the blood of the Lamb. Take us into the Holy of Holies. Take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am. To the Holy of Holies, take us in by the blood of the Lamb. Take us in to the Holy of Holies. Oh, take the gold, cleanse my lips. Here I am.
God. That song that Daniel's leading us in comes out of the experience of the prophet Isaiah. And he'd been serving God for a long time. He was already the prophet Isaiah. But he was taken up into the throne room of heaven. And there, a certain kind of angel, they're called seraphim, and they're called the burning ones. But a seraphim took a coal from the altar of God and touched his lips, and he was purged and he was changed, and his ministry was forever changed. And I want to just leave this with you to pray into this week. We all need to be changed. Honestly, I need to be changed at a real deep level. I need to be changed at a level that I can't change myself. I need to be changed by God. And I desperately want that. And I know you do too, and that's why you're down here. But there's a prophecy in the book of Zechariah about the burning ones ministering. And the Lord says that in a certain day, in a day to come, he will purge the sons of Levi. That's the priests. We're all a kingdom of priests unto God. He'll purge the sons of Levi by a strong detergent and a purging fire. And I just feel like sharing this so we can do this corporately. Let's all pray for God to come as a strong detergent and as a purging fire, refining fire. Bible says all things are refined by fire. That vision of a fireball, not just for, you know, the fireworks aspect, like, oh, cool, but I need purged by God. You need purged by God. This church needs the strong detergent of the Spirit of God. Our country needs the strong detergent of the Spirit of God. And let's pray into it. Now, beginning Tuesday, every night over in the well, beginning at 6 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 o'clock, we're going to be over there calling out to God and doing what we can do. We can't change ourselves, but we can get serious about calling out to God. We can humble ourselves in fasting and prayer. That some of the great moves of God of all times have happened where people knew that they needed God and they humbled themselves in fasting and prayer and said, God, come change us. We need change. We need that great Hosanna. We need you to come and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. So would you please join us? Now, here's the deal. I don't know how old you are, but you've done same old type of week. Over and over and over and over and over again. And we are what we are. But listen, just one more of your workaday weeks isn't going to change you. Just getting up, going to work, eating fried chicken, watching the news, going to bed. You're going to be just like you are right now. So let's do something different. Let's push that aside. And seek God in fasting and prayer and come out into those meetings with hearts crying out, God, change us. Hosanna, save us. We beg of you. Amen. We need that. Let's ask for that. Lord Jesus, we invite the seraphim, the burning ones, come and burn up the chaff in our life, burn up the things that shouldn't be there, burn up the things that we struggle with. We don't want to live like mere mortals. We pray that you would visit us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire from heaven to purge and to purify. Change our hearts and lives. Change our value system. Lord Jesus, burn up those things that stumble us and get in our way. Lord, we pray that you would come as a strong detergent to wash out of our life a love for the world and the things of the world. Wash out of our life the sins of the flesh and all those kind of things, Lord. We don't want to continue to live lives like mere mortals. We pray that you'd come and release in our midst the seraphim of God, the burning one. Oh, let there come a strong detergent. Let there come the ministry of the fire of God to purge and to cleanse and to purify. Visit us with a baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire from heaven to cleanse and purge us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, and God, we just ask you that we would be your people and that it would be on earth just like it is in heaven. God, that your kingdom would be so deeply established that the gates of hell would not prevail. And God, we thank you that you are up to something that is so supernatural and so beyond us. But God, we want to partner with you. We want to hear your voice and we want to lean into what you are saying. And so we just say yes. God, be it unto us according to your great will. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth in our lives as it is in heaven, God. God, we thank you for this privilege of really partnering with heaven. And we thank you for really the invitation to deny ourselves and to follow you. And so, God, we just say yes. We say yes corporately and yes individually. Let it be according to your great purposes. Amen.
Amen. Okay, praise God. Now remember, starting Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, let's lean into it and come with hungry hearts. God bless you. Let's thank Alex for a good word. Thank you, Alex. Hallelujah.